Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, Bears lost game number two, and it wasn't much better than game number one. We will talk about all that and more live from Tampa, or live for us from Tampa, here on Halas Intrigue. Jason, the Bears lose 27-17. Their offense has life at the very start of the game and at the very end, and very little in between. Meanwhile, the defense makes Baker Mayfield look like Joe Montana. You combine those two things, and you know the Bears lose a game that they might have been in for about a quarter of it, and really it felt the whole time like they were going to lose. Not much better than the week one disappointment against the Packers, was it?
This has been a total disaster of a start to the season. Nothing, right. There is not anything I can point to. Let's just stick with the offense for a minute. Mm-hmm. The defense has its own problems. And Baker Mayfield throwing for 300 yards with a triple-digit passer rating. Baker Mayfield's on his third team
in the last 17 games, I think.
I'm getting off track. Offense, Pet, I don't see anything in two games that looks right. I don't see anything that looks cohesive or promising for them. They are not protecting. Their receivers are not producing, and that is partly them, partly Justin Fields. You are seeing scheme issues. You're seeing like this, the offense from Luke Getsy doesn't seem to fit Justin Fields' skills. It doesn't seem to be real sensible to have all these screen passes on third and a million. We are seeing either a bad play design or bad play execution where wide receivers or Cole Kmet are in the same spot at the same time, and that's leading to issues. And it ends in kind of a culmination of all of their problems on that pick six by Justin Fields throwing a screen pass. What was the play? What was the down and distance on that?
It was
second and long.
Yeah, second and 11. Second and 11. Yeah.
Needing to go 94 yards to save the game, and there was not much headway on that goal. Yeah. It was very quickly. It was a screen pass thrown from your own end zone. Justin Fields misreading. Barrett, was it Barrett that jumped?
Yeah, Shaq Barrett.
Yeah. Misreading that. I mean, just the no protection from the offensive line in that case. Like, it all looks wrong.
Right.
Two games in. I know. A long way to go. Right. But so much to fix, Pat. This is so off track.
Well, yeah. And let's talk about that screen real quick. The Bears, after really not being in it for most of the game, end up getting the ball back a little more than 2 minutes left in the shadow of their own end zone. There are two penalties to start that drive. One is offsides on the Bucs. The other is
And the Bucs helped him. Barrett, of course, jumped offsides.
Yeah, and then
trying to go for the safety, and they get the safety in the pick six, but none of it counts.
Yeah, and then on the next play, Claypool is blocking before a screen is thrown. And somebody said this in the press box. I think it was Madson, but now he blocks, like of all times, of all people and of all times, he blocks too early. So that leaves the Bears with 11 yards to go. I believe second down, Jason, or first down?
On what?
With two and a half, with a little more than 2 minutes to go.
After all of that nonsense on the first two snaps, they end up first and 11.
First and 11 at their own six.
And that's where it went wrong. Yeah, it was first and 11 at their
Fields
own
throws
six.
Ostensibly a middle screen to Khalil Herbert. He said he thought that Shaq Barrett saw it and kind of floated backwards and kind of dropped into coverage. Regardless, Barrett picks it off, just kind of falls forward into the end zone for the shortest pick six you'll ever see. And the game's over.
4 yard return.
Yeah.
The quick assessment that I understood from the Bears that was going on the Bears sideline of that was that Barrett tricked him.
Yeah.
Barrett was acting as though he was going to rush, but he was playing, feels much like Quay Walker did in coverage, the linebacker last week, playing like he was going to fall back on DJ Moore, but very quickly holding his zone and stepping in front of that pass to Darnell Mooney for a pick six.
Yeah.
Four pick sixes now for Justin Fields in his career. Back-to-back weeks to start this season.
How many does Aaron Rodgers have in his career?
In his entire career, also four.
Jay Cutler, I think, was like 12, something like that. But yeah, bad, just bad all the way around. And if you're a Bears fan, it had to hurt extra bad because we spent all week listening to people bemoan Justin Fields' play, Justin Fields' decision making, and the Bears' play calling, which seemed super conservative last week. Now you're throwing a screen pass from your own six. You know, and Fields said, and I think this is true, that you know it's a hard place to call a deep pass because you worry about getting sacked for a safety there. So this is a screen, but it's also kind of thought of as a quick throw. I guess that's right, but to me it just seems to reinforce that I don't think the Bears have a whole lot of faith in their offensive line, one that today had no Nate Davis in it after a really bad showing last week.
They're not. Luke Getsy is either just calling absurd plays or he's calling plays based on that he doesn't trust his O-line and he doesn't trust Fields.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Like, they're not turning either of those groups loose.
It's strange because, you know, there's probably a much longer conversation to be had about that, about all of this. But, you know, when you have Fields dropping back, I understand that everybody wants him to throw deep and everybody wants him to press the defense. But designing an offense that looks like that isn't a Justin Fields offense. It's an offense that you could plug any other quarterback into. Fields today ran four times for 3 yards. One of them was a zero-yard gain that, you know, was a sack, ostensibly. You know, you look at the stats, he's less dynamic than Baker Mayfield is. Baker Mayfield ran six times for 17 yards. I don't know. They're kind of neither fish nor fowl right now. Like, they want to throw a lot, but they're bad at it. And the thing they were good at last year, running, today 16 carries, 67 yards?
Yeah, who had a good game rushing? I mean, Roshon Johnson averaged 8 yards per carry, but that was just 8 carries. And he had, by the way, Pat, so Roshon Johnson, 4 carries, 32 yards, 29 of that on one of them.
Right, yeah, so.
So, I mean, that's great when you get it, but mm-hmm. You're really getting only that.
Yeah, and then he got 1 yard a carry, the other three. It's
Bayless Jones got in on offense.
He ran a fly sweep for -3 yards. Yep. Real quick, and this isn't a giant deal, but I'm just curious what you thought of Deontay Foreman being inactive. The Bears gave him $2 million to come here. It's a guy who was fifth in the league in rushing the last 10 weeks of last year with the Panthers. You know, he was inactive because he can't help him on special teams, but, you know, in theory, Velus Jones took his place.
Well, this was the problem with everything from their plan originally to keep 7 wide receivers to me, is that's a great plan as long as nobody gets hurt.
Yep.
But now, you know, as soon as you take the first snap of the regular season, people will have injuries.
Right.
And now you're in a situation where, you know, they only had 4 safeties dressed today.
Mm-hmm.
And
2 of them got hurt.
Got hurt by the end of the first quarter. And so then what happens if one of those guys gets hurt in the whole rest of the game? I mean, so they have 7 receivers. They have too many receivers. Mm-hmm. And then 2 of them had to be inactive in the opener. And then they want to bring one of them off in Velus Jones. They want to bring him onto the active roster. But they don't scratch another receiver to make room for him. They pull from somewhere else. And it just isn't going to be feasible for them. You cannot keep going this way where you don't have enough players at safety or another position, or you have to make Deontay Foreman inactive when you could use him.
Boy, it'd be great if they could teach either someone else to return kicks or someone else to return punts, huh?
You can't have 7 receivers, but like 2 of them don't play receiver. I mean, it just isn't. Right. You're not going to be able to do that.
I know that. I think the touchdown to Chase Claypool midway through the fourth quarter makes this game look a little different. It makes it not quite so embarrassing, I think, offensively. And the fact is, they did have a chance to go down the field and win. My question for you is, does that give you any feeling of momentum?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was real. I mean, that was not like garbage time touchdown. That was a great drive, Pat, from their own 10. 8 plays, 90 yards, move, move, move.
Right.
You know, big gains. DJ Moore with a 22-yard catch.
On third down.
Yeah. On 3rd and 10. Claypool with the 20-yard catch for the touchdown. That was great, and it did give them a legitimate chance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, first and 10 from your own end, yes, that's a long way to go, but you have time. That was a legitimate opportunity at the end for the Bears to, what would it have been, win the game?
Yeah. Tie it or win it.
Yeah.
Tie it.
I'd say at least get down for a field goal and tie it. Like, that was a legitimate opportunity. That wasn't like getting the ball back with 30 seconds and no timeouts and, you know, we'll just take a shot in the dark and see what happens. Yeah. That was momentum, and it did lead to them eventually having a real chance to a legitimate opportunity to win the game, tie or win the game.
Chase Claypool misses a couple blocks last week, shows some bad body language, and then we spend all week talking about him, and justifiably so. I think he was a symbol of everybody's frustration. He goes out, has a fairly okay game today, touchdown catch, his first ever as a Bear. Matt Eberflus went out of his way to praise his blocking on a couple of run plays. It seemed like they got some better effort from him. You talked to him after the game. Does he get it? Does he understand what all the hubbub has been about here?
That's a good question. That's hard to say because he clearly felt that enough to go and apologize. And Chase Claypool says, by the way, he doesn't have any idea what any of you are tweeting or what we're writing or any of that. Except for that he then hears it from his family.
He also ducked us for 5 days. So
right. He also knew everyone wanted to talk to him and seemed to have some sense of why, but okay. He felt strongly enough that he needed to address this with his coaches, with his teammates, to apologize to them for such a poor performance.
Mm-hmm.
I think he objects to the questioning of his actual effort and the trying.
Right.
Even though Matt Eberflus and Luke Getsy both acknowledged this week that is part of the equation when you're talking about his poor blocking.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be effort.
Right.
In that, the question for Chase Claypool is going to be like, does he think he put this all to bed today? Because he said some things like, you know, that this was a good step in the right direction, and he wants to keep this journey going of doing things the right way and doing better. But there were also some things of, you know, there was also a little bit of defensiveness of like, hey, if you just pull only my bad plays from a game, then it looks like I had a really bad game, and that's not necessarily the case. So I hope he doesn't think like trying hard for one day down in Tampa in week two and catching 3 passes for 36 yards and a touchdown like closes the book on this. Like there has to be more than that. And with Claypool, like everybody involved in this situation has all the motivation in the world to make this work.
Yeah. Ryan, Chase Claypool can make himself millions of dollars.
And he has the most at stake in this. I mean, you're talking Chase Claypool has a great year, mm-hmm. and you're talking like a minimum of what, like 4 years, $60 million or something? That's on the low end, probably, if he has a really good year. And if he doesn't, maybe you're talking like 1 year, $5 million or 1 year, $10 million. There's a huge amount of money at stake for him. Next on the list of people that have a lot at stake in this is Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus,
mm-hmm.
who tell us that they make every decision in lockstep. So they're both on the hook for trading the number 32 overall pick for Chase Claypool. That's a huge investment. Mm-hmm. That is right now, if it doesn't turn around, the biggest mistake Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus have made personnel-wise.
Right.
And they would love that to not be the case anymore.
Yeah. It's then again, they're 0-2. They're probably going to be 0-3 because they play at the Chiefs next week. This thing could keep going off the rails. And it must be exhausting to have to worry about making sure Chase Claypool stays on his P's and Q's. I wonder whether there will come a point when they decide it's not worth it. And it's either not worth it because the Bears aren't going to be very good anyway, so why not get rid of him for a fifth-round pick?
Yeah.
Or they're just tired of him. And like, I think that both outcomes are certainly plausible.
Yeah.
I personally would like to see him figure it out because, geez, given Justin Fields, two receivers, three when you count Darnell Mooney, four when you count Cole Kmet, like, you can make an argument that, if Fields can't perform with those guys, they probably need to get a better quarterback, not better help.
No targets, no catches for Darnell Mooney today, by the way, and was sidelined by a knee injury at one point.
Yeah, he seemed to be jogging up and down the sideline trying to get it loosened up, I don't think he went back in the game after that.
Justin Fields said something that kind of connects to what you were just talking about, and Justin Fields did not say this about Claypool, but he said it broadly. That at 0-2, things can go off the rails here.
Right.
Like, there are two ways this can go, and one is to, dig in and everybody works their butt off to redirect it.
Mm-hmm.
But that, one of the ways this can go is it can just completely nosedive.
Right.
I'm paraphrasing. Those aren't his exact words for it. And, Pat, this feels like a big 0-2.
Yeah.
It's only 0-2, and even the stats are not that bad for teams that start 0-2 as far as making the playoffs. They're not, just impossible. Like, it can be done.
And we have a new playoff structure in the last couple of years that makes those stats pretty irrelevant.
There's a lot of spots, and the Bears are playing a bunch of teams that you think right now at least will be bad. But it's not just that they're 0-2, because you're going to go 0-2 in a two-game stretch at some point somewhere. But it's 0-2... on two fronts. It's 0-2 after all of the buildup for 6 months, all of telling everyone how much has been fixed and mm-hmm. how this was going to be a real season, unlike last year.
Right.
And it has been so far short of that. It's not just that 0-2 is kind of a letdown to all the buildup, but man, it has been an absolutely ugly 0-2. And that's where we get into the defense now, because Baker Mayfield hasn't had a game like that in like 2 years.
Right.
300 yards, 100-plus passer rating. He's running on him. He's throwing on him. He has a 70-yard pass to Mike Evans. Like, and Jordan Love just did it last week in his second career start.
What was he?
Lit up the Bears.
Mayfield 114.5 passer rating. I think Jordan Love was 1.232, something like that. So they make every quarterback they face look like the best quarterback in football. And then on this upcoming Sunday, they're going to face actually the best quarterback in football. So, yeah, it's disappointing. And I think that if points would have come easier the last 2 weeks, I think maybe everybody would have felt buoyed a little bit, just because, you know, the two questions you're trying to answer this year are, can we win, and is Justin Fields the reason why we win? Mm-hmm. And if Fields was answering that question better, and if the offense was answering that question better, maybe 0-2 would feel okay. But, in the locker room today, I mean, you and I talked about it while we were in there. I mean, it was a morgue. It was a morgue all week in the locker room at Hallis Hall. Eddie Jackson went out of his way to tell us, like, you know, he's been playing, what, 7-8 years? And that, you know, the Monday morning locker room after the Packers loss was as quiet of a Monday morning as he'd ever seen. I don't know whether that means that people are taking it seriously or whether people are concerned. And I think there's a difference there. But you can feel the weight on this team already. And that is just bizarre.
Well, there's concern because in a lot of ways, Pat, like, how would you fix it? I mean, you look at their offense, and I can see the potential with Fields. I could see that Fields could play better. That's possible. Could that offensive line block better? I don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem like it. This is the offensive line that you came here with, and like,
in theory, there aren't
big moves to make now.
In theory, 2 weeks from now, you get both your starting guards back. Those are big moves.
Yeah. Yeah, Tevin Jenkins coming back at all. I mean, they had Nate Davis last week, too. But, you know, like, the two biggest things any team needs is quarterback and pass rush. And, like, how are they fixing that pass rush? No sacks today on Baker Mayfield.
Nope.
One sack last week on Jordan Love. I mean,
How many sacks did they have that Mayfield just shook off? Like, three? Like, yeah. I mean, Ngakoue just hanging all over him in one place, slips off.
And completed passes on a couple of those.
Yeah, it feels like everybody was disappointed. And it's hard. I was explaining this to somebody the other day who wasn't really a football fan. And you're like, yeah, everybody expected better. And then they went, oh. And then you go, well, they were the worst team in football last year. And the follow-up was like, so everybody thought they were going to be great? And it's really hard to walk through. Like, everybody was looking for a leap, not just an improvement, but a leap.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, we haven't seen that at any point.
No, and you know the formula. Like, you know that everything starts with the pass rush, especially the pass coverage. And so you see a secondary that looks super talented.
Right.
On paper, Jalen Johnson, Kyler Gordon, Tyreek Stevenson, Eddie Jackson, and Jaquan Brisker on the back end. And you know that it's going to undermine how good all those guys are. And in Stevenson's case, it's going to really rush him. He's not going to get the time to acclimate that he would on a team that had a good pass rush. But now, you don't have a pass rush, and you don't even have all that talent in the secondary. Kyler Gordon's on IR. Eddie Jackson left with a foot injury that we don't know how serious it was. Eddie Jackson and Jaquan Brisker were out by the end of the first quarter. Jaquan Brisker for what they called an illness. I think it must have been like heat-related.
Matt Eberflus said later he was dehydrated.
Okay.
So, yeah, heat-related.
He came back eventually for the game, so that's not going to be long-term, obviously. But Tyreek Stevenson, he's not hurt, but he's hurting them. Like, he's going to be a long-term problem until he learns how to play. Like, who do you think that Mahomes is going to be looking for when he takes a snap next week?
Yeah, Mahomes isn't throwing to a Hall of Fame wide receiver. Mike Evans looked every bit the Hall of Famer today. Yeah, you're right. I mean, some of these guys are getting thrown in the fire. And, you know, we talked about this last year. Just like you can't expect Justin Fields to show you exactly what he's got if he's throwing to a bunch of, you know, fours, fives, and sixes, you can't expect a secondary to show what they've got if the quarterback's got all day to throw.
And they have. The last 2 weeks, those guys have looked so comfortable back there, Mayfield and Love.
Yeah, and we watched I can't wait to see the Pro Football Focus stats on the passer rating when targeting Tyreek Stevenson, because it's probably through the roof.
Probably perfect.
Yeah, but, you know, I think we took for granted all preseason because Stevenson looked so comfortable. that this wasn't too big for him.
Yeah.
And, you know, last week against the Packers, they play a bunch of nobody receivers who light them up. And now for the first time in his career, he goes up against a pretty good one. And there are going to be many more pretty good ones coming his way. Davante Adams in week four, Terry McLaurin in week five. We can go down the list. So the Bears better hope he learns from this, because this was a bad day for him. Also, he got, in his defense, not to be a meatball here, he got shoved in the back by Mike Evans on a 70-yard touchdown pass. I think the Bears would argue that that was offensive pass interference.
Probably.
It wasn't a touchdown pass.
Probably send in that clip to the league.
Yeah, not a touchdown. Set up a touchdown. Yeah. 70 yards, though. So where from here, Jason? The Bears say, we're just going back to work.
Where from here? Arrowhead. Where from here? Where from here is like, you know, don't worry about next week. Right. The turnaround starts after that.
Well, and we were talking earlier, though, you know, you and I don't think they're a playoff team even on the best day, probably. Right? Fair?
I thought they had it was in their range to do that if everything went right.
But when people this week were saying, well, if they lose to the Bucs and then they lose to the Chiefs and all of a sudden it's 0-3, I don't see that as a problem. I'm not counting
in the standings, but in terms of like what's going to happen to their season then,
right?
And what's going to happen to Fields then? Like that's more the big picture thinking, rather than can they squeeze out 9-8 and make the playoffs?
Right. They've lost 12 in a row now. By the way, their last win was Monday Night Football in New England on October 24th. If you're Fields, and I think you and I agree that Fields is a tough guy mentally, physically, and otherwise. Does this get to you at some point? Should, right?
It does, but I don't know really what he can do about it.
How do you fix it?
They're trying to make him play a certain way, and he can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the counter argument and all that would be that playing his way isn't going to get them anywhere either.
Right.
That oftentimes last year it didn't.
Right.
And the thing that he does better than any quarterback in the league, every defense in the league is out to stop that. And this is very plausible that you'll have a game like this where, four carries for 3 yards. I mean, you can't just rely on that.
And they have to be able to throw, and then maybe they'll be able to run. And
there's no sign that they can protect him. There's no sign that they can tailor the offense to him. And there's no sign from him that it would matter if they did. He's been making a lot of bad choices.
I think some of the deep balls on the Claypool scoring drive were positive indicators.
He's done six possessions since he was a rookie, but we've not seen it consistently.
The Monday Night Football game in Pittsburgh 2 years ago before the bye, is that the best he's looked? Is that the best you've ever felt about him as their future?
That was a breakthrough day for him, but then there wasn't.
There have been few since. Should we just end it like this?
The good news is, if you need good news, that there are beatable teams coming up, and the Bears are one of the most beatable teams, so no one is just an easy game for them. But after Kansas City, there are games like this, like against Tampa, where that is a fair fight for them.
Yeah, they play the Broncos. I think I said earlier they played Davante Adams. They play the Broncos in week four.
They get Davante Adams eventually.
Yeah, Commanders in week five. I mean, they get the Cardinals on Christmas Eve, so they'll win one game, right?
There's a lot of teams that will be beatable teams for them. Now, whether they actually beat them or not, you know, that's a whole different thing. But it will be a fair fight, as opposed to going against the Chiefs.
And the beatable team that we had circled at the start of the year, the Bears have now lost both of those games by a combined 28 points. So, not going well for them so far. Jason, we will track all of this good stuff during the course of the week leading up to the game against Patrick Mahomes. Until then, you can follow Jason, myself, and Mark Potash on Twitter. You can check us out on the Sun-Times website and on the app. And should I call it X or Twitter? I said Twitter, but you say X now, right?
Chase Claypool today called it Twitter and said it is a breeding ground for hate.
All right. I think Chase and I agree.
So follow us on whatever you call the platform that is a breeding ground.
On your breeding ground for hate of choice, and pick up a newspaper if you can. Anyway, he's Jason. I'm Pat. We'll be back again real soon.